Hello, Cinnabar Moss, or kind of moth you'd like to be. Welcome to the Writer's Triangle Cinnabar Moss podcast about all things publishing and books. Today we are here with Katie Groom, the author of Fixed Moon. Katie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really well. A little bit nervous, but that's to be expected. But yeah, overall, extremely excited.
I think that's great. You said you're feeling excited. Are you feeling excited about the interview, or are you feeling excited about the release of Fixed Moon this upcoming Tuesday?
Both. I'm very excited about being able to be here with you and do the interview, but also extremely excited about Fixed Moon. It seems like it's been a long time coming, and it's just a big dream that I've always had. So, yeah.
I think that's awesome that it's finally coming to fruition. You said that it's been a long time coming. How long ago did you write Fixed Moon?
So, I started it in, I believe, 2018, but it wasn't Fixed Moon then. But by the time I was done with everything, it was 2021. October 1st, 2021 was when I think I sent the final draft, the final initial draft, I guess, to y'all at Cinnabar Moth. But the book started out as something completely different. But so it took about 3 years to write this.
Okay, so it's been this process where it evolved from something completely different into mm-hmm. what it is now.
Yes. So the story initially, I started in 2018, and it was called something along the lines of like this Future Imperfect or something. There's a Star Trek Next Generation episode called Future Imperfect, and it's actually my favorite, and that's kind of where I took that from. But the episode literally has nothing to do with what the book initially started out as. And it was initially a novella. And I did try to submit that to to a publisher, but it got rejected. And while that was disheartening, they gave me really great feedback. But I set it aside and I stopped writing for a while, because back then I was easily discouraged, that kind of thing. But in, I think, 2001, there was a call for short stories that were set in winter. And in that novella, there was one character that really stuck with me, and his little origin story actually became what is Cardinal Moon, that is in Cold Christmas and Darkest of Winters anthology, which is published by Cinnabar Moth. And when that got accepted, I started to think, oh, maybe you're okay at this writing thing. So I started doing it again, and I pulled some more ideas that were from that initial novella. Not very many, but some of them, and it kind of went from there. And, there was like one version, and then, I had to rewrite a big chunk of it because, it didn't make enough sense the way it was. And it was a long process overall, but it was a really, it was really neat because it's the first time that I had ever really done this. So it was very eye-opening as well. So yeah, long story short, yes, it took a while, but we got there eventually.
You did, and here you are, it's about to be published. And you say it's been a long process. What would you say that process was like for you? You say it was painful? Was it tiring? What was it like?
I would say it definitely wasn't tiring for me. I loved it. I love the process of everything that's gone on from there all the way through to now. But there was a good kind of painful that it was. I'm not really shy about sharing things that happened in my past, or even mental health stuff. And actually, Fixed Moon did bring a lot of that stuff up. And actually, the character Hugh was initially created because way back in 2019, I kind of knew things in my marriage weren't going well, and I didn't feel entirely safe and things like that. And these are things that I've shared before, so I'm not, you know, afraid to share them again. But anyways, you know, and I didn't feel like I had a man in my life that would protect me. And I know, you know, we don't need protected, you know, or whatever, but I still wanted that. And I created Hugh. And that's what I did with him. And but the more that I wrote about him and the more that I wrote his story, there are some parts of him, like his loyalty, his resilience, his stubbornness, the fact that he puts his hair in a bun when he's ready to go to battle, like those things are actually a lot of me. And so they're like the strongest parts of me. So I learned that I was protecting myself. And so it was a very therapeutic thing for me to write. So yeah, there was some pain involved. And I think every author, if they're writing like a difficult part of a story, maybe they cry when they write it and stuff. And there was moments like that for me. But I would say overall, any pain that was in that process was a growth opportunity or a good kind of pain that took me to another like understanding of who I am, that kind of thing.
Okay, so overall, while there may have been dips and such in the process, you would say it was more of a positive experience, even with some of the pain that was involved.
Yep, absolutely.
I think that's awesome. And you've gone through this entire process, and you've written the book. And mm-hmm. with writing it, did you initially plan on submitting it to Cinnabar Moth Publishing?
Yes. So when like the original version, that was that one that, you know, I got the feedback and I was like, I'm never writing again. No. But with Fixed Moon, which we used to call Quicksilver, and then we called it the novel formerly known as Quicksilver. So this thing has been through a transformation, right? But yes, the entire time, ever since I started writing it again, after I wrote Cardinal Moon, Cinnabar Moth was the publisher that I wanted to submit to. And that's just, I mean, so I'm lucky, I guess, that y'all like what I write. So yeah, but I mean, that's, I've never, like, I know of other, you know, small publishers. I don't think I would ever want to do like one of the big ones. I feel like my story would, you know, my work might get lost or something like that. But yeah, I've always, the intention was to submit to Cinnabar Moth. Yes.
Okay. How did you discover Cinnabar Moth Publishing?
So I feel like, and I know the answer to this is not true, but I feel like I've always known Cinnabar Moth. Like, I remember a time now where I didn't, like, know y'all. And I know that, you know, really, I think y'all started publishing books sometime last year or the year before, if I recall correctly. But so the answer to that was, no, you didn't know them forever and ever. Amen. But what it was is I was on Twitter and I followed another author that y'all have published, and she had been accepted, one of her pieces of work had been accepted to the anthology, and she had retweeted it, and I was like, I think I have an idea for this. And she encouraged me, because we were kind of friends, you know, she encouraged me to do it. And so then I submitted and I got accepted, and I was like, whoa, you know, so that's kind of, it just was through a friend, via Twitter, which is where I make all my best relationships, I swear, is via Twitter, which is strange, but true. So,
I mean, you make connections where you make connections. I think Twitter is one of many avenues for that, and Twitter does have a rather large and thriving writing community.
Mm-hmm. Yes, for sure. I've met a lot of really great people through, you know, the writing community on Twitter. So yeah, I agree with that 100%.
And so you contacted us via Twitter, and you submitted for the winter anthology, mm-hmm. Christmas in the Darkest of Winters, for the short story. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you had this expansion into writing Fixed Moon.
Mm-hmm.
And you decided to publish with us with Fixed Moon. and go through this entire process.
Yes.
What would you say has been the most surprising thing about publishing with us?
So I'm going to admit that I don't really know anything outside of you guys, period, right? I've heard things like, you know, I remember reading about an author who burned her own books because she didn't like the covers or whatever. The experience that I've had publishing through y'all has been the complete opposite. Everything is very, very collaborative. And that has been extremely surprising, especially since, you know, I know nothing about the industry really. But also, you know, I have a specific, you know, idea of what I would want. And for whatever reason, I don't even mention it, but everything always seems to line up, but everything is very collaborative. And that might be why, or it might be that you guys, you know, everyone on the team just seems to understand me or something like that. I don't know. But the most surprising thing is how collaborative it is, but also I'm very much in love with my little story. And I feel like you guys, like everyone that I interact with that, you know, works with me on Fixed Moon seems to be in love with it as well. And I think that that's surprising too. So, and I love it. Also, it's very nice that everyone is so nice on the team. So that helps me too. But yeah, well, all those things are very surprising to me.
Well, thank you for this lavish praise. we do aim to be collaborative, and we do want our authors to have to at least feel in control of the process and have us aim to give you guys as much say over how things work as we can, right? Because in the end of the day, you're right, it is your story, you wrote it, and it's your baby, so we want it to feel like it's yours once you've gone through the entire process, rather than feeling like it's something that we took and then made ours.
Yes. And I definitely feel like it's just like, I wrote this, I wrote Fixed Moon, right? But I also feel like it is almost as much like y'all's too, because you've done so much with me and, you know, you've just been on this journey with me. So yeah, I guess, you know, you guys are like maybe surrogate, you know, the baby in the book.
Yeah, it's a lovely story, and, you know, we're excited. You're excited. It's great. With this process, there is, you know, publishing with us specifically, but then there's also just the general experience of publishing a book. With this experience of publishing a book, this is your first book. Your first novel. What would you say has been the most surprising general experience with publishing as a whole?
Oh, geez. Like the whole thing's been surprising. I think the surprising part for me when it first started happening was that it was actually happening. But I think that probably the general most surprising thing to me as the process has gone on is how much more confident I've gotten in like my skills, and that this is real and that I've earned this, and it's not just like, you know, I'm going to wake up and it's not going to be there. So I think like the actual surprising thing is that I've finally accepted that, you know, and realize, yes, you've earned this, and, you know, you are worthy of actually doing this, you know, that kind of thing. And I mean, maybe that's not the exact question, but that to me is probably the most surprising thing to me. I really think I've grown in the process. And who would think that going through writing a book and publishing a book would have you grow as a person, I guess, you know?
And so for you, it's the process and how it's affected you, rather than just looking at the process and being like, huh, that's kind of interesting.
I guess it's surprising that I have, you know, I was able to have input into my cover, because, you know, those kind of things surprise me. But like the biggest part is like I didn't get discouraged throughout the entire process. You know, like I just, for me, like I said earlier, back in the day, I would get discouraged very easily if, you know, something didn't go exactly how I would wanted it or whatever, or I got, you know, negative feedback or something like that. But no, you know, everything has just made me feel more and more confident that, you know, I actually, you know, I'm good. This is happening and it's, you know, it's real. And you've worked for this, Katie, you know, that kind of situation. I don't know. It's kind of, I mean, it might not be the exact answer that, you know, you'd expect, but that's kind of.
I think that's a wonderful answer. I think that having your own experience with this is very important. And sharing that experience, it sounds like it's been very positive for you. So that's wonderful. And with going through this process, you've had all this growth, you've had all these interactions with the book, and how it's affected you, how the publishing process has affected you, and it's finally around the corner. Do you have any plans to celebrate the release of Fixed Moon? And if so, what are they?
So I would love to say I've never really thought about that. And I kind of really haven't, because I just, you know, again, dream come true. But like, I also live very, very far from my family and my partner, you know, almost 1,000 miles from him, 700 from my family. So I'm kind of here in Alabama, like on my own. But I did tell my family that I was like, I would like a cake that looks like the cover of my book. I said it jokingly. So I think they thought I was joking. So I'm not getting that cake, but I seriously meant it, 600% serious meant that. So, you know, mom, Steph, if y'all are listening, better get on that cake. You know, but no, I don't really have any other plans, just I don't know, just to kind of just take it in for a second, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay, so no specific plans, but you'd like a cake.
Yeah, I'd like a cake in the cover of Fixed Moon. Thank you.
So you said that you've told your family about the release of the book. Would you say that they've been excited about it?
Yes, they're very supportive of it, which is, I will be honest that I didn't tell anybody at first. I've never really been very public about like my writing until all of this, but like, cause you know, I used to write fan fiction and there's like gatekeepers that tell you fan fiction isn't real writing, whatever, yada, yada, yada. But anyways, I didn't tell anybody at first, and then I finally decided to, and I was like, they're not going to take this seriously, you know? But they've actually been very, very supportive and very proud of me. My sister was the first person to actually read Cardinal Moon, because she likes those kind of stories. So I wanted her feedback, but I'm really excited for her to finally read Fixed Moon and get her feedback on that. Again, it's the kind of story she likes. My mom, my sister, my brother, and my niece, when we were going through the cover process, I actually let them see some of the like, I guess, mock-ups and wanted their feedback, especially for my sister and my niece, because they read these kind of books and I wanted to know what they thought. And then my grandparents are all very excited as well. My grandfather actually published a book himself. So kind of like he's excited that I'm kind of like following in his footsteps. And his wife, my grandmother, she edited his book and she drew the cover. So she knows a little bit about the work that goes into this. And then my other grandmother loves to read. And that's just something that I always remembered about her. And, you know, even though I don't see her very often, like that's just something we've always connected on. She's always got a book with her. So when she found out about it, she just said she's so thrilled that, you know, that she gets to witness this. And she has even, you know, when I've talked to her on the phone, every single time that I've talked to her on the phone, she's said that she's just thrilled and so proud. So, yeah, they're very, very supportive. And I'm very happy that they're excited for me. So hopefully they all like it when they do find it.
Well, I think it's amazing that you have this great support from your family, and it sounds like you've had a very positive experience with not just writing the book, but also sharing it with the people in your life and having them, you know, respond positively to it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so following up on this whole positive experiences and things you might not expect, how does it feel to know that your book will be listed in the U.S. Library of Congress?
So, didn't know that that was like even a thing that was possible, because really my experience with U.S. Library of Congress is National Treasure 2, Nick Cage, and then going here to find that book. So when I found that out and found out what that really meant, I was like, wow, that's incredible. Like, that's just really incredible. And it's going to open up, like, you know, people that go to a library or have the option of reading my book. Like, you know what I mean? They can check it out there, you know, and all that kind of stuff. It's a lot easier for the library to get it and all that jazz. But also going back to that National Treasure thing, maybe they'll make a National Treasure 3 and my book will be a key clue, like in that magical world. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, no, it is a very, very neat experience. Something that's another thing that was just really surprising. I'm just like, that's a thing? Like, I didn't even know that could happen. So yeah, it's incredible, I guess, is the only way to put that. So yeah, and unexpected.
Okay, so unexpected, but it feels great to know that your book is going to be available in libraries all across the US.
Yep.
And you mentioned National Treasure.
Yeah.
Having a third and potentially having it be there. That honestly sounds pretty cool. I think that'd be neat, being able to be like, that's my book.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hadn't even thought about being featured in films without necessarily being the active, you know, component in it. But aside from that, you've now written Fixed Moon and you've gone this entire process, it's about to be published, and you mentioned that this is giving you a lot more confidence with your writing.
Yes.
What do you hope happens next?
So I once jokingly mentioned on Twitter that I'm like, I would love it if I would sell a dozen copies to people that are not my family or my partner. So, you know, I mean, hopefully I would sell more than a dozen. But really, I think the thing that would mean the most to me is if one person read it and said that that work helped them or got them through something or made them think something different. Like, I'm just hoping that one person reads it and it makes them, you know, feel something enough to, you know, just say, you know, your work meant this to me, and that would just, or it helped me or something. I think helped would be like the most important. I love helping people. So if somehow like my book, my little story, you know, helps somebody through something, that would be absolutely incredible. And I think that would be the one thing that I would hope that happens next.
Okay. So you're hoping that someone feels a connection with the story and that helps them through something, or even helps them grow, or whatever it is that they can connect to it and get something out of it.
Yeah, or helps them like find a piece of themselves that they didn't know was there. Not sure if I can like explain this on, you know, and obviously this can be edited out if y'all don't want this in here, but I specifically wrote one character, his name, well, nope, sorry, their name is Cade, and I intentionally never described what they look like, just because I wanted anyone to be able to see themselves in that character. I just feel like, you know, just I want anyone to be able to see themselves in the story and have a powerful character to see themselves with. Just discover something about yourself, or, you know, help you get through something. I just thought that would be my biggest hope, you know, that kind of thing. Just help or get through something. That's what I would want.
Okay. I think that's a very positive thing to want for the book, and I hope that you'll be able to get that feedback from somebody. They'll write a review and be like, "This book helped me," and you can be like, "I did
I did it. Yeah. Maybe
it."
that's a little self-serving or whatever, but I don't know. I mean, my favorite books are ones that have helped me through something, you know? So I guess maybe I want to have somebody say that's their favorite book. I have no idea. I just, you know, maybe it's a little self-serving or whatever, but yeah, I just, even if I don't get that feedback, it would be nice if somebody just thought that, you know, this book helped me through this, you know?
Makes sense. You mentioned before that you've with writing you become more confident, and this process it's really helped you to feel more capable as a writer. Do you aim to have writing be a career for you?
That would be fantastic. I would love it. I wrote my very first story in kindergarten. Actually, my mom gave me the book for Christmas this past year, because she found it as she was going through old pictures and things like that. It was about a bunny that wanted to dance, and he didn't, you know, his friends were like, you know, making fun of him, and and he ended up dancing at the end. It was like 4 pages, whatever. And I did the illustrations myself. Definitely don't want me doing that.
That's cute.
In fact, my illustrations now would probably look the same as that in kindergarten.
Yeah,
Anyway, he, you know, that was my first book. And then I actively remember, we got a computer, and I'm, you know, back in the dark ages when Commodore 64 was the computer to have. Anyways, we got that, and I would write little stories on there. And then I mentioned that I did like fan fiction and stuff like that, and you know, wrote that for a long time, took a long break, but I've always wanted to do it. And a lot of times people would say like that's not realistic, you know, like you would not, you're not gonna ever, you know, get anywhere with that or whatever. But yeah, ideally I would love to. I would love to write every single day. It would be, you know, and make that my thing that I would do. It would be fantastic. I would love that. I like sharing stories and making stuff up, and I always love having a work in progress kind of thing going on. But yeah, I would love for writing to be my career.
okay. And so writing for you is just part of your life, basically, and it always has been. And if it was something they could do for a living, that's a bonus.
You know, yeah, it'd just be a bonus, you know, and who, you know, and I do love what I do now, like I really do. So it is the best of both worlds right now because I get to do both. But yeah, I would love to be able to write and just continue creating like worlds for people to go to.
And so following up on that, the idea of, becoming a writer requires a certain level of, writing success and popularity for it to become a career. So if Fixed Moon were to become a bestseller, what would you do?
I don't know, cry. I don't know. Is there a standard celebration for that? I don't know. It just it would be, I don't even know. Like I can't even answer that question because that's not, yes, I have confidence, but like you don't set out there to like at least I don't. I'm not sitting there being like, I want this to be a bestseller, you know. No, that's, you know, that's like the pipe dream. So yeah, if it became a bestseller, what would I do? I would probably panic, like, you know, oh my God, I have to follow this, you know, or whatever. But no, I mean, it would be really cool, but legit don't know how you celebrate that. I don't know what you do next. I probably would just be like, I would probably soak it in for a little bit and then just be like, then I'd have to figure it out from there. 'Cause that's not something, again, I had given up before I, you know, submitted Cardinal Moon and then subsequently Fixed Moon. So yeah, no, that was not something I'd ever would have thought would be in the cards. So I haven't planned for that yet. It's not like when you know, when you're a kid and you got the shampoo bottle and you're like, Grammy for best new artist. No, you don't do that. You do that for bestseller. At least I didn't. So
That makes sense. It's something that you hadn't considered, so you can't really plan it out because it's like completely removed from what you're currently thinking about.
Right.
But now I have to ask you a follow-up on this. We're Baking It Builder. You know, it becomes a bestseller. It starts gaining this popularity, right?
Yeah.
Now let's imagine Fixed Moon becomes a movie or TV series.
Okay.
Now, do you have any idea of who you'd want to be cast for any of the characters? If you were to think about it, do you think you'd have anybody in particular?
I'd want Jason Momoa to be in it. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh,
anyone that knows me or follows me on Twitter will actually know. They're like, yeah, of course she would say that. But anyways, I've never really had in my head like anybody in particular. I don't even know what one of the characters looks like, I mean, at all, because I just never did that. But there is one character that I vividly know what she looks like. I just don't know what that person, that actress would be that would portray her. I vividly know what Stevie looks like in my head. I'm not gonna describe her because I like everyone to get their own imagination, but in my head, I have a version of her and she's just very colorful, you know, and everything. But do I know who would play her? Absolutely not. I don't know. I just didn't do that with these characters for whatever reason.
Okay, so when you're writing this story, you didn't necessarily imagine what the all the characters would how they would be represented physically.
Like, not really. I mean, Hugh is from 1830s Scotland. So there's a particular way he's going to look, right? Also, he's like massively, like, yeah, he's massively buff, like Jason Momoa would be. So I guess that's the closest. But I mean, you know, Jason Momoa is not Scottish, so I guess he couldn't play him. Who else? You know, Stevie, I just like, she's got big black curls and like colorful big jewelry and. I just picture her wearing. There was this Barbie that I used to have back in the day that had this really ridiculously bright, vivid dress that Stevie would totally wear. But like, I just figure she would have like big geometric earrings, like shaped earrings and things like that. But big curl, like a lot of like dark hair, you know. She's extremely southern too, so like she has a southern accent and everything too, but she's just I don't know, she's just the one that I have the most vivid version in my head of her. Oh, and Zoe would I just because, and this is probably super self-serving, but Zoe would have red hair and she'd be plus size. That's just something that is important, that you know, that the that at least one of the leading characters is overweight. I just, you don't see enough of that, you know, and Zoe's kind of a hero, so I like that, you know. But she also specifically has green eyes. That's said in the story, but yeah.
Okay, so you have some things you just you're without necessarily having any particular individual that you'd have cast, you do want them to match what's written in the story.
Right, but I don't have a, like, I just don't know. I don't know enough actors or actresses to, to say who it is. I mean, they're all aged. Well, it's difficult because, you know, Hugh's like 190-ish, you know, so, but he looks 36, you know, so they're all aged somewhere between like 24 and 36. So I guess I don't know enough actors or actresses in that age group to know who would play them, because I wouldn't want, the one thing that I definitely wouldn't want would be like a 70-year-old man playing Hugh and like a 20-year-old girl. Like that, no, thank you. I don't want that big age gap, you know. I want it to be appropriate, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that makes sense. So with Fixed Moon movie, TV series, do you think that it would fit one better than the other?
I used to always, when it all started out, I was like, oh, a limited series, like six episodes that are an hour long, so it's basically a 6-hour movie, because, you know, you wouldn't go to the theater to watch a 6-hour movie, but you'd totally binge a limited series that's 6 episodes long in one day, right?
Oh, for sure.
So, you know, I thought maybe that would be something that would be neat. But I can't speak for everyone else, but I've always been like, oh, a movie would be so cool. You could walk the red carpet, you know, that kind of stuff. I don't know if you do that for television series or whatever. But, you know, if, for me, like the pipe dream would be like, oh my gosh, it's a movie, you know, or whatever. But, you know, again, don't know if that's even possible. So.
And so we're imagining that this is possible and that it's coming to fruition, right?
Yep.
With Fixed Moon becoming a movie, let's say, what level of creative control do you think you'd want over the development of the movie?
So I would love to have some input in that, but I'm not a screenwriter. So things that I write are not good, like the way that I wrote them necessarily won't translate into the screen, right? So I would love to say, like, I would love it if they would allow me to have input, you know, maybe as like a consultant or something like that, but somebody else is an expert in writing screenplay, right? So they need to do that. I would love to have input as to, like, you know, make sure this character, you know, looks, has this particular, you know, if Zoe doesn't have red hair, I would be upset, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, not too much, because they're different mediums. And I'm someone that for me, I try to not compare the two, because the things in a book would not translate. There are things that won't translate to the screen and vice versa. So, and also, you know, the producer, the director, the writers, like, they see what I would have written on that page, and they interpret it their own way. So it's interesting to see how they would interpret it too. But yeah, to have a little bit of like consultant, yes, but I don't want to be like hovering. Like, I don't want to be the helicopter mom of making my book into a screenplay kind of in a movie. But yeah, I mean, I would like to be involved a little bit, but not too involved.
Yeah, so it sounds to me like you'd want to make sure that things are consistent with your vision of the story, but beyond that, you understand there's always going to need to be some adjustments for the different mediums, and that's fine.
Yep, exactly. Okay.
So now we're imagining, you know, it's gone this entire process, they've done all the screenwriting, the acting, and everything, and it's finally coming out, right? Fixed Moon, the movie. Would you want to go to the premiere? And if you did, who are you taking with you?
Absolutely, yes, would want to go. And I know that's like, I don't know why, because I'm like, I'm pretty shy. So like, I mean, of course, I'd be the author of the book, so they wouldn't be taking pictures of me. They want the actors. So, you know, fine, I get to hang out in the background. But yes, I totally would want to walk that red carpet. And I would take my partner with me, because he's been the perfect kind of cheerleader throughout the entire process. He never gives me unsolicited advice. And if I need a break, he understood that I would need a break, and he would encourage me, you know, when things maybe got a little bit more difficult. But he's been the very, like, most perfect cheerleader, and he's been by my side, metaphorically, the whole way through it. So I would want to take him. But if he wasn't available, I would take my niece, because I just feel like it's something she would enjoy, and I would want her to experience that if given the opportunity. So, yeah.
That's great. You know, you have your partner who's been by your side this entire time, but if not, you know, your niece could have a really fun time.
She'd love it. She'd eat it up. She'd probably put it on like TikTok or something. So
I can imagine kids these days.
Yeah, she's like 14 or 15 right now. So it would, if you imagine, she'd probably be like, if it would happen, 17, 18, somewhere in there. So she'd eat it up, you know?
Oh, sure. So. And so now, you mentioned that you're a bit of a shy person.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think you would react to becoming famous then? Would you like becoming famous, or would that be something you'd be uncomfortable with?
I think like there'd be parts of it that I'd be uncomfortable with. Like I'm open about certain parts of my life. Like I mentioned, like mental health and like, you know, struggles with like relationships and like, you know, getting, you know, out of that and making myself better. Like those things, I'd like a little bit of animated, you know what, can't say that word. I'd like a little bit of, you know, privacy and stuff like that. But if I was to, you know, maybe get like, I guess, famous or whatever, I would at least hope that I could use that platform to do some good, you know, maybe bring forward change or bring attention to things that, you know, need attention brought to them and maybe make a little bit of change. But I always say that if I got like Stephen King money, I would buy a stone cottage in the Scottish Highlands and spend a lot of time there writing, drinking tea, that kind of stuff. But on the flip side, like I definitely think that there's a part of being in that kind of, you know, being in the public eye like that, I feel like there is a responsibility to make a difference somehow. You know, so I would hope that I could do that.
Okay, so fame for you, while there may be a little bit of discomfort with the loss of your anonymity.
There it is. The word I
There might be a little bit of discomfort with that, but you would still enjoy being able to make use of the platform to having a stage to present your thoughts to try and make some positive change.
Yeah, I would. I think that would be the best part about it. Because I do, you know, there are, you know, there's things that are invasive that I wouldn't want to, I would hope that people would be, you know, kind enough to keep at bay at certain parts of my life. But, you know, if there's a social issue that I, you know, believe in and I think that needs to be brought forward, I mean, it is my, I would think that it would be my responsibility to take, you know, get involved and help. I've said help like 3,000 times in the whole interview, you know, but yeah, that's just how I feel. Like if I would have to be in the public eye like that, I would want to do something with it. That's all.
I think that's a great thing. You know, you have an idea of wanting to help people, and that's been consistent. You know, if your book helps one person, and if you end up becoming much larger, being able to use that influence to help more people is a very positive message, in my opinion.
Thank you.
I don't know about you, but I think so. And I think that's really nice. And I want to ask you, with the idea of, you know, helping people, is that something that you think runs through all of your writing? Is the desire to help people and something that you think about as you're writing every story?
So the work in progress that I'm working on right now, there's a couple things. Like there are some times where I will take a difficult topic, and I never knew that as I wrote, things would be political, even though they're not like obviously like conservative versus, you know, liberal. Like I don't do that. Like it's not like that. There's hot topics, right? And so everything I write, there always seems to be like a really hot topic, like button thing that we have to, that I take us, you know, take us through. And, you know, maybe I help people see another side of that or something like that. But, and actually, yeah, I mean, the more that I think about it as I'm talking through this, yeah, I do think there are some, you know, helping like a bigger cause, I mean, I can't say too much because spoilers, but, you right. know, things that I'm working on right now, like, as I think about it, I'm like, yes, I am helping in the story, helping specific groups. But if you take it and think about it on a bigger scale, helping a bigger scale of people, if you think about it this way, like, do you know what I mean? But yeah, that's probably in a lot of stuff that I write. I didn't think about it until right now, but yeah, probably.
There you go. This is something that another bit of this process where you're just discovering more about yourself.
Yep.
And so I'd like to thank you, Katie, for talking with me today and for being on the Writer's Triangle. And it's been wonderful. And I would like to thank you, all of our beautiful moths, for listening. Be sure to buy Fixed Moon coming up this Tuesday. Katie, can you tell us where to find you, social media?
Yes. On Twitter, I'm at @vintage_Katie_. That's VINTAGE_KATIE_. And then on Instagram, and this is new, so I'm still building this. So if you see it and it only has like a couple pictures, it is legit. On Instagram, it's at Katie Groom Writes, KATIEGROOMWRITES.
There you have it. For everybody listening, be sure to visit cinnabarmoth.com, check out the transcripts, and where we'll also have the links to all of Katie's social media. Katie, again, thank you for being on. It's been wonderful having you and talking with you today.
Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye.